Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone. Hello, I'm Kay Thompson, and Gus Henningberg is listening in, and welcome to the Kay and Gus Show. We invite you to listen every Wednesday from 8 until 9 p.m. as we take a closer look at exciting news, information, education, and global communication issues. And you can listen in, and you can write, or you can call in, and I'm going to give out a number for you to call. But before we do that, as a matter of fact, I think I'll give you out the number right now for you to call in if you hear something that you like, and I'm quite sure you will because you're going to get a lot of information tonight. Remember, this is the start of Black History Month. Every day should be African history and American history, including us in American history. There's a whole lot going on in Florida. There's a whole lot going on with the Republicans and the Democrats, and it's really kind of hilarious at times. And I'm talking about one... what's his name? His name is Kane. He is hilarious. A lot of things going on, though. We're going to be talking to Congressman Donald Payne from New Jersey. You know, he's in Washington, D.C., and he is our contact, you know, with things congressional. We want to find out what's going on, so he is nice enough to always call and be always readily available. And we're going to be dealing with him with political realities. Also, now, the first person that we're going to be talking about, or to, and his name is... Byron Saunders, and we're going to be talking to him about this moment in history. So as soon as we get him on here, we're going to find out a little bit more about Byron. By the way, he also does the show on WDAI, one of my favorite radio stations to listen to. And let me say hello to Byron. Byron, how are you?
Well, hello, Kay. I'm doing just fine. Thank you so very much. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you on. How have you been? I think we are having a little technical difficulties. Okay, Byron, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Okay, that's fine. You know, so how have you been? Haven't heard of you in a long time.
Well, I've been very, very good. Thank you so very much. As I was saying, it's a pleasure to be on the Kay and Gus Show.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're on both sides of the river now. So,
how about that? God, you're on one of my favorite stations, WBAI.
That's correct. On Monday morning from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. for those who stay up late.
Oh, God. I remember those kind of hours when I was doing that. WWRL, Bob Law. Boy, I'm down.
Oh, yes. Yes, you know it well, right?
I know. Listen, what's the name of the show, Byron?
The name of the show is Night Shift.
Uh-huh.
And Mike Sargent is the host. I'm his co-host on many of the shows. And I've been doing it for like almost 10 years now. So
no
I'm
kidding.
In that particular venue, I'm Mike's hired fool. That's my alter ego. So I bring a little comedy, a little levity, and then some political commentary, as it's a truly eclectic type of show.
You know, listen, at that time in the morning, you need to do some sort of pickup. I know
exactly.
Time those graveyard hours, really, so I understand. I'm going to listen in. What time does it come on again? Mondays at what time?
12 midnight to 2 a.m. going into Tuesday.
2 a.m. Wow. Okay.
Oh,
listening in. What are some of your favorite topics that you're talking about there?
Well, we do movie reviews. We do
interviews.
In fact, when the Occupy Wall Street had its significant moment where the police came in and removed them from Jakarta Square, we were the only radio station doing a live coverage that
no
day.
Kidding.
That,
no kidding.
That's right. So that night from like midnight to 4 a.m., I stayed on all the way to 4 because we had a live feed going on. And ultimately, we were the first to spread the news on what was going on in Jakarta Park.
That's terrific. Don't you feel great when you're right on the onset of, you know, a news story And it's very exciting. Loads of people. I mean, there's a certain excitement about that that you really can't explain to people listening in.
But that's right. It's cutting edge.
Cutting edge, doesn't it?
That's right. I mean, it's exhilarating.
Yeah.
It's right at the moment. And ultimately, it gives people a really close-up look of what's going on before the news is filtered and given another slight to it.
Well, Byron, now you're on WBAI, but what are the call letters there for people wanting to...
99.5 FM.
That's right. I had forgotten momentarily. 99.5 FM. So you're going to be out tonight?
Well, that was this past Monday. This is the 1st of February,
With those hours, you're lucky to remember your name the next day.
Oh, there are moments. You're absolutely correct, Sarah.
I know, I've had it myself. But listen, I understand that you're an arts management consultant now also.
That's correct. I've been very fortunate to have been able to run museums, theater companies.
Wow, no kidding.
And I even ran Frank Silvera Writers Workshop.
Oh, my God.
Harlem. I ran the Wyckoff Farmhouse Museum, which happens to be New York City and New York State's oldest historic landmark. It was built in 1652. And I, for 8 years, I was the executive director for the Queens Historical Society, preserving the history of Queens, New York City.
Oh, wow. No kidding. No kidding.
So I have had a hand, and God has blessed me very well with opportunity to avail my talents.
Yeah.
Not only New York City, state of Georgia, but from around the country. So it's been a very good run.
And that gives you such an array of topics. And, don't you find when you do talk radio that you have to know a little bit about a lot of things and you find yourself doing a whole lot of research and you really almost become a walking encyclopedia for people because they'll call and ask for everything. Do you know about this? Do you know about that? And people will call and give you the information, and it's fabulous. The adrenaline really does kick in.
Oh, yeah. And I've been, of course, doing this for about 10 years now, so you get used to it.
Yeah.
So I guess we're both of us, we're adrenaline junkies, as they say.
Yeah. Well, Gus and I, we decided to reinvent ourselves about almost a year and a half ago. And that happened when I was filling in for a friend of mine who was on WVIP radio and went with Wayne Gilman, who was the news director at LIBBLS, and sat in for him on a show. And I had been away from radio for, a number of years. And when I stepped foot in there, I mean, the adrenaline just kicked in and you went into this zone. And then, the adrenaline kicked in. I said, well, this is what I'm going to be doing again because I love it. So, but listen, let me talk a little bit more about you. What is this with down in hurricane down in New Orleans, Louisiana? During the
I was in the middle of taking a sabbatical from my entertainment industry because I ran a very high profile professional theater company, Just Us Theater, in Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow.
For about 10 years, and then had moved to New York, went back to Atlanta in 2000. And was running on more theater companies and then took a sabbatical during the time of Hurricane Katrina. And it was August, September. That January, I went down and did 5 months of work in the bayou in Slidell, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And was doing work and helping to restore what was the damage in that area, New Orleans and Slidell.
Wow.
It was a life-altering experience. Yeah.
No kidding. In what way? Were you caught right in the middle of it or what?
Well, I was helping to, take out debris from homes that were completely destroyed, and doing some wiring of trying to reestablish some of the homes that were saved.
Mm-hmm.
But what was really amazing was that you saw firsthand the spirit of this country. A lot of people came from around this country to help, and they were in volunteer mode. They didn't go to get make a living, although you could, working with the different contractors.
Yeah.
But the damage was so devastating.
Wow.
What you saw on television could not pale to significance what really on the ground level, as they say, at ground zero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was truly amazing how some of those communities, all that was left from their homes was the footpath itself.
Wow.
And yet, these individuals doggedly determined to hold on even to the footpath to rebuild on what was left.
Okay.
When you see that firsthand, you know God's work is awesome. It's a miracle.
And you were right there. That's amazing.
I was right
there.
It changed my life.
We just have a few more minutes. Have you talked about it on WBAI?
I've mentioned it occasionally.
Yeah.
It's one of those moments where, when asked, I will share. Because it's one of those things you never forget. And, I mean, I've been around the world, and I've seen poverty in several places around the world. But there's nothing like what you see through a devastation of a hurricane or a tsunami.
That's quite a story, and there's so much more to talk to you about. You're on WBAI Mondays at, what did you say, 12 o'clock, midnight?
Midnight to 2 a.m.
So 2 a.m. I'm going to be listening, I'll tell you that right now.
Okay.
Because
it sounds good.
And I'm looking at your bio. For goodness sakes, you've done so much, including being involved with the hip-hop crowd.
Yes. I did a concert back with Health and Hospitals Corporation. We had Dougie Fresh, Marley Marl.
Yeah.
Kango Kids, Roxanne Shante.
Okay.
And we were raising money for the New York Health and Hospitals Corporation. So,
I hope you're going to be doing more with the radio. You know, maybe you're going to come over here and join us over here at Black Wax, BW Moving Images here in Jersey City where we are. That would be fantastic.
Well, it is a privilege and an honor to be working with you and Dustin. So,
thank you.
I know my job is to bring the Black, since we're doing Black History Month, I have Black History Notes.
I know you are. I hear you. So we'll have to do this again, though. Promise.
Yes,
okay.
I promise.
Byron, thank you.
Oh, you're very, very welcome.
Okay, stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back. I'm Kay Thompson. Gus Henningberg is listening in. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Yeah. You gotta believe me, baby.
time of blues. Good time of blues. And we are back, everyone. We are back. I'm Kay Thompson, and Gus Henneberg is recouping, and he is listening in. So, hello, Gus. As a matter of fact, you know, I want to tell you something about, we were talking about icons and legends. Now, we're waiting to get to Congressman Donald Payne on the phone also, because the fact that we're going to be talking about political realities. We're going to be dealing with the debates. We're going to be talking about the Republicans. We're going to be talking to Newt, not to, but about Newt Gingrich. Somebody told me that his middle name was Leroy. Is that true? I'm not even sure. But anyway, we're going to be talking to the congressman about that and a number of other things. And we want to say to Gus, you know, since you are one of the icons and you've been on NBC, rather, with doing Black History, you know, people don't know that you led the fight to integrate the construction unions and to get minority concessionaires at Newark International Airport. You also served, Gus Henneberg also served as the chairman of New Jersey's Educational Opportunity Fund for the first 10 years of its existence. So I say that because, you know, we know a lot about scholarships and about money and about the Educational Opportunity Fund. And there is money available for those of you who are getting ready to go to college, want to go to college, want to find out about, is there money? Yes, there is money. And we can tell you how to go about getting it. At here at, you know, on the Kay and Gus Show, and we'll be happy to do so. Gus also negotiated the settlement of America's longest public housing rent strike at Celluline Homes in Newark, New Jersey. That changed public housing in the entire country, you know, during that particular time. So, you know, we're going to be giving information out about Gus, and we're waiting to get to Congressman Donald Payne, and as soon as he gets on, we're going to be continuing this. He's on. Okay. Congressman, are you there? Congressman Donald Payne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. How are things going?
Going pretty well, thanks. And how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm just actually steaming at some of the things that I have been seeing on television regarding the debates and regarding, what's his name, Romney, the rich guy.
Yeah.
And arrogant guy, Gingrich.
Right. Before we get into the discussion, I'd like to call you right back on the other line. This is good, but I'll call you back in 5 seconds.
Okay. Okay.
All
that's
righty.
Fine.
I'll be right back. Okay.
All right.
Fine.
I can talk during that time. By the way, this is going to be some interesting information because the congressman has traveled to I don't know how many different African countries. And he is going to give us an update on the political realities of this debate. Now, if you've been glued to your television and glued to your radio, as I have been watching this nonsense go on with all this money, you know, going from one place to the other with the negative advertising, the negative things that they are saying, God, people in other countries probably think that Americans are a bunch of idiots at times. You know, because if you look at what Romney is saying about poor people, can you imagine that? That he doesn't pay any attention to, or he doesn't care that much about poor people. And then Gingrich comes back with some such nonsense of calling all kinds of names and, you know, with these code words that he thinks maybe the Black community, maybe we don't know, but we know his game. We know him. You know, he can give these code words like welfare, mothers, and food stamps, and all that sort of thing. But we know the game. We know this game, Gingrich. So, you know, you want to play dirty. Okay, that's fine. Now I'm going to get to Congressman Donald Payne right away. I think he's back on the line. Are you there, Don?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay, so what are some of the political realities that we're dealing with here with these crazy people?
Well, first of all, I think that when the primary season began, we saw a group of 10 or 12 totally unqualified people who started in the campaign. We have seen them drop out, and it shows you that there are people who should not be running. However, it shows that because of racism, because of people creating hysteria. These candidates are still doing well. Three or four are still left. They are really they're really fear-mongers. They are using race in very subtle ways, especially Newt Gingrich. And Ron Paul has sent out racist stuff in his early career. Senator Santorum, when a woman said that Obama, President Obama, is a Muslim and he's an American and all that, he just would not comment, where at least candidate McCain said, no, let me just say this, that's wrong. He's a decent American, and told this voter who was for McCain that she was wrong. And Santorum stood there and never said a word.
Kane actually did that?
That Santoro.
Santoro. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but in the previous election, the candidate who was asked the same question said to the person that you're wrong. He's a decent person. He's not a Muslim.
Even
if he was, it would be all right, but he's not. Mm-hmm. And he's a decent person.
Yeah, that was John McCain. This is Bill Payne, by the way. I'm on the line now, too.
Okay.
The congressman is on there, and I just heard him talking about this primary that's going on, this fiasco that's going on among the Republican Party. It's so ridiculous, but it's as far as I'm concerned, they can go on forever. It looks like it might be good fodder for the general election when the President Obama runs against these people.
Mm-hmm. Now we're talking to and listening to Bill Payne, who is Congressman Donald Payne's brother. And glad to have you on, Bill, you know, because I'm getting two for one here, right?
Yeah.
Me big time, okay? But listen, with this stuff going on, it seems like with the stupidity of the Republicans that we see, these aren't the best of the Republicans, I think. I don't know. But also, it's just so ridiculous. You know, it's foolish, the kinds of things that they're doing. And they're fussing and, you know, calling each other. They're actually lying. Reverend Al is the one who holds them to the candle with that, I think. But they are actually telling lies. How do you justify this to the American people?
Well, they don't feel they have to justify it. They are liars. Newt Gingrich will just make up a story in a heartbeat. I mean, they have no conscience. They will just say whatever comes to their mind. And and he, in particular, has been using race. He said, you know, these black kids ought to drop out of school and get a mop and clean bathrooms, so because they have no role models, at least they'd have a job. Of course, they call the president the food stamp president, trying to indicate that he's black, therefore he loves food stamps,
whereas
the majority of people on food stamps are not black.
They're not even aware that we know all about the code words.
Right.
You know, they were invented for us a long time ago because of the way they treated black people. But isn't that absurd? That's absolutely ridiculous.
But it's an indication, though, that what's happening here is these candidates are throwing red meat to the folks out there, and because they realize that just beneath the surface, and not so far beneath the surface, is their real feeling of racism that's across this country. And so what these guys are doing is feeding into that. And what's happening is that people are expressing their true feelings out there. And I think it's a good thing that we're able to expose them what's going on. It prepares the sensible people, and they can see the sensible people for when the real campaign starts between Obama and whomever they come up with, that this racism that's out there, we'll know that it does exist and it needs to be addressed.
Yeah. Let me ask this, Donald, before we go any further. Listen, your district is the 10th district, and what about redistricting now? Let's go into this area for a minute, then I want to go back to these political realities. But now, what is your district now? Is it still the 10th district, or what does it include? Because the redistricting did go on in New Jersey, so tell us.
Well, throughout the country, every 10 years a census is taken, and the number of members of Congress remains constant. Mm-hmm. However, the population in this nation continues to grow, immigration, bursts, et cetera. And so every 10 years, each state has to do its census, come up with the number of people, and then those numbers are put into a big type machine to determine what states have lost population, or not only lost, but have not gained enough to retain a seat. New Jersey lost a seat in this last go-round.
Uh-huh.
We had 13, and now we're down to 12. Interestingly enough, the population increased by 700,000 people in New Jersey. However, it was not enough for us to save a seat. So
I see.
We lost one. Pennsylvania lost one or two. New York lost two. The northeastern states have continued to lose seats. The South and the Southwest have gained seats. So
mm-hmm.
in New Jersey, we have 13 current congresspeople. Now there will be 12 congressional seats. Therefore, one of the current congresspersons who is serving now, come January 1st of 2013, will be eliminated.
Ah.
And it's why it's so important that we say that everyone should be counted. We know that there's usually an undercount in the minority communities. A lot of people, when they get the census form, they say, I don't want these people to know my business, or mm-hmm. someone may have a house where they shouldn't have someone living in the basement, but they live there, so they don't report that. And many Hispanics are, of course, don't believe that the census will not tell immigration if
yeah.
they're undocumented. So
yeah.
these are problems that we have. But anyway, as a result, we have 12 seats. I am still in the 10th district. My district have changed maybe about 20% or more. I had to pick up about 100,000 new people.
Wow.
Because my district lost the most people in the last census. So my district, as you were asking, still contains about 2/3 of Newark, has about half of Jersey City, a good portion of Bayonne.
Uh-huh.
But mm-hmm. in Essex County, we
half of
have
Jersey,
Irvington.
Right where we're broadcasting from. Okay.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're right in Jersey City. So we want to tell people when your name gets on that ballot to go out and vote.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We have, as I mentioned, Newark, we have in Essex County, Irvington, East Orange, Orange, mm-hmm. all of Maplewood, all of South Orange. We have now a larger share of Montclair,
uh-huh.
Maybe about 30%
wow.
of Montclair. So I was only in the 5th Ward before, which is mm-hmm. the part coming off of Bloomfield Avenue. Now
yeah.
I'm extending further over. I also pick up West Orange,
uh-huh.
and
wow.
I have about 1/3 of West Orange,
uh-huh.
Which is these are new area.
Bloomfield, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well,
uh-huh.
I have all of Glen Ridge.
Yeah, wow.
And I have part of Bloomfield, as Bill was saying. So those are the towns that are in Essex County that are in my district. And finally, in Union County, I have the township of Union. I have Roselle,
wow.
all of Rahway, all of Roselle, all of Linden. I have Roselle Park
yes.
Picked up, a little town that was added.
You lost part of Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I've lost different pages. Yeah, Elizabeth.
What?
I had a portion of Elizabeth, not all of it, but I had a portion of Elizabeth, which was taken away. I have all of Hillside, but
okay.
they took Elizabeth away. And I really had a great relationship with the population in Elizabeth. Many
of
them
of course,
knew
I'm
the Thompson yeah. family. And
right.
They just, yeah. And so we had a great relationship with them. And I'm going to still work with them.
Good.
So that's my new district. I pick up much more of Essex County.
Mm-hmm.
It's a district that I feel comfortable with. In redistricting, they try to keep what they call communities of interest together. That,
I
for
see.
Example,
I
Essex
see.
County, even though we have suburban Essex like West Orange and Montclair,
uh-huh.
the community.
Let me interrupt you a minute. Just have a thing. Don't forget to mention the Nesbitt person out there, Elizabeth, who is extremely active.
Sure. Yeah.
And did a great job.
Kim Nesbitt, Nesbitt Funeral Home, of course.
Strong supporter of Don's now.
Yes.
And Pat Perkins Auguste would
count.
Let me say this, too, also. Payne mentions that the population changes. The Constitution allows for only 435 members of Congress, period. So when the population increases, they have to spread that over. Each district has to represent an equal number of people. I think now there's, 600-some-odd thousand people.
735.
So they don't increase the number of Congress people, but they then have to spread those 435 seats among the population as it shifts.
That's a lot of work, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So each of us will have, like I said, I will have an additional 100,000 constituents in my district, and each of the districts in New Jersey will all be about 735,000 people.
But that's terrific. We're glad that you're there. We're glad that you're also in my district also. So, mm-hmm. But also,
right.
We're going to be taking a short break, and I want to come right back. And I want to also find out when the next election is. And I want you also, when we talk about the political realities going on now, I also want you to say something about the voting changes and for people to get out the vote. And it's so necessary that they find out wherever they are if there are any new procedures that they have to abide by in order to vote. That is extremely important. Am I right?
You're absolutely right.
Okay, so we're going to take a short break, Congressman Donald Payne and Bill Payne, and we will be right back. Stay with us, everyone.
I can't tell where yours begins. I can't tell where mine is. Brown skin up against my brown skin. Each and every now and then, where are your people from? Maybe Mississippi or Alabama. Apparently, in Austin, Texas, you make me want a Hershey kiss, a liberate. Every time I see your lips, it makes me think of honey coated chocolate. Your kisses are worth more than gold to me. I'll be your almond joy, you'll be my sugar daddy. Brown skin, you know I love your brown skin. I can't tell where yours begins, I can't tell where mine is. Brown skin, up against my brown skin.
Okay, everyone, we are back. I'm Kay Thompson. Gus Henningberg is listening in, and this is the Kay and Gus Show, and we give you a closer look at a number of issues and concerns that people have, and we try to make it as exciting as possible, and of course, we always have exciting people on. Congressman Donald Payne is still on, along with his brother Bill Payne, making sure that the people of New Jersey, and especially in his districts, are fairly represented. And I can tell you that that's exactly what they've been doing. Also, Donald, are you the longest, do you have the longest running, congressional seat in New Jersey or what?
No, I am
been
the.
Been there for 20 years?
I'm in my 24th year.
Your 20th year?
Yes. There's another congressman, Frank Pallone. We were elected on the same day, but he filled an unexpired term, so. They put him.
So that's 20? Did you say 24, 25? I didn't hear the
20. Letter. Yeah, I'm in my 24th year.
24th year. Okay, congratulations.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And in the Congress, I'm probably in the top, next term will be in maybe the top 40.
We're
or
having a technical difficulty again. On the internet, sometimes you have this, you have something in the air, and. Yes, can we call you back? Or
sure.
Or can you call us? Sure,
yes,
can you arrange that in there, and then we'll come back and, have a clear line. because
right.
we're talking to Congressman Donald Payne, and he's in Washington, by the way. So therefore, you know, we do have some technical difficulties when you're dealing with on the internet. It can be air movement. It can be absolutely anything. And please remember, one thing I like about doing a show here in Jersey City is the fact that, and on the internet, it is such a fantastic operation here at BW Moving Images with Ty Washington, Shauna Glover, and Ayanna Jones, and Ty 1, Ty 2, Ty, all the younger Ties. But also, this medium, this radio medium, and if there's anyone out there who wants to do a radio show, I would suggest calling Ty Washington right away. You know, you can get our number. In fact, you have the number to call in, the 323-679-0906. That's 323-679-0906. But there's also another number that you can call, and you can get right here to BW Moving Images right here in Jersey City. And that number for the studio, if you want to call them during business hours, is 201-963-6751. That's 201-963-6751. So come and be a part of the GoPro network with BW Moving Images. So, but going back to the congressman, Congressman Donald Payne, you know, this is really something. Congressman Payne, when is your next election? When is your election, re-election?
Actually, the primary is this year, June.
It's in June, in other words.
Yes, in June of this year, yes. And as a matter of fact, the interesting thing is that, you know, the congressman, this is Bill Payne.
Yeah.
That the congressman will be running, of course, on the same line as President Obama. So
uh-huh.
this year is going to be a very, 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 very important year.
Uh-huh.
And Congressman Payne will be teamed with the Obama line. So that's going to be extremely, extremely
okay.
exciting.
And we'll be keeping up with you and then also having you on again because we want to make sure that you're there to look out for, you know, for your constituents, for your the public, because they count on Congressman Donald Payne. And they also count on you, Bill Payne, with the Amistad legislation. So I'll say again, congratulations on getting that passed in the state legislature. And the Amistad, let me say this, because as a former teacher, I feel very strongly about this. The Amistad legislation, everyone, if you do not have the, if you're not aware of the Amistad legislation that was passed into law in the state of New Jersey, what this does is that it makes complete American history a must. And I'm saying
absolutely.
American history, meaning we are included. We African Americans, our history is included. It's American history. I like to say black history. Because here we are into Black History Month, African American History Month. We have so many heroes. We have so many icons and legends of people who moved this. I'm looking at stuff that I have about Malcolm X. I'm looking at stuff that I have about the original Bible, you know, pre-slavery, okay, with footage. These are things people send to me, and here we have the Paynes that are involved in this. So you can get a lot of information. You can also find out a lot of information by calling either one of their offices about scholarships. Where are they? Where is the money? You know, so they're really doing some good stuff. I know them, and I know how hard they work. So
one thing that's very...
Donald, are you on?
Yes. And I agree, the Amistad legislation is very key in New Jersey, and the whole question of integrating the history of African Americans into the history has been very key, and we just have to keep pushing to make every school district in New Jersey comply with the law.
Uh-huh.
But we also are having to deal with the inequity in education. You know, today I sit on the Education and Labor Committee.
Yeah.
And we have, in the United States, the schools are more segregated today than they were when Brown v. the Board of Education
decision
came down in 54.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And even programs like charter schools, which I certainly support innovation in education. However, I also fear about the amount of money taken out of the public school system, but that's a debate for another time. Many of the charter schools are homogeneous, and so that tends to add to the resegregation of public and private education.
Mm.
So we have to really, you know, we rank 25th in the world in certain math, and I mean in science, we're far behind many of our students going to community college.
Are you talking about New Jersey or
the country, United States of America?
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, New Jersey is supposed to have one of the better school systems,
mm-hmm.
and you can see the inequities in our urban districts as opposed to our suburban districts.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And so we're going to have to really close the gap, and we're going to have to do a better job in our education because foreign countries are far ahead of us. We're not having enough of the top technology. We have the STEM program, which is the science, technology, engineering, and math,
yes.
where we're targeting African-American students starting in elementary school to try to get them into that
yeah.
area.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of work to do. Many of the students that go to community and regular four-year colleges have to take remedial courses
right.
before they can even start taking regular college courses. And
mm-hmm.
So that puts up the cost of education. That should be done in some other place rather than a high-cost college.
I wonder if I, Kay, may I just say, you touched upon it. I'm not going to go too deeply, but you touched upon Amistad and the need for us to teach within our schools the full history of this country and the,
yeah.
the true role that African-Americans played. And one of the reasons for that is that African-American youngsters going to school, if they're not taught about our role and they're taught the distorted sense of what it is, and that if they're taught that they're from the very beginning, like the Revolutionary War, that it was white people, Nathan Hale, Patrick Henry, et cetera, that fought for this country, and don't teach us that not only was it Christmas Addicts, but there was also Peter Salem and others who fought in the Revolutionary War.
Of course.
What happens is kids, as they grow up, they don't see any sense. There's no connection. So it's so important for African-American kids and white kids to learn of the true role that we played, an integral part of making this country what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what will happen then is that these youngsters who see no reason, no interest in school, once they begin seeing themselves in the books and are taught about it and know that we invented the traffic light and things of that nature, they'll say, well, we can do that too, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But the one other thing I'd like to say is that activism is necessary. I was speaking with an educator today from Rutgers University, as a matter of fact, who sounded very disappointed that there's not enough people becoming involved. There's a lot of talk going on. And I pointed out to her
there's not enough people becoming involved
and bringing about, not only in Amistad, but in bringing about the changes necessary in our communities, for instance.
Yeah.
Now, there's a young fellow by the name of Larry Hamm, who is the head of
yeah.
an organization called People for Progress, POP.
And, yeah, I have to talk to Larry, too.
And what he's doing right now is drawing attention to the fact that there is a great deal of homelessness and unemployment, et cetera. And every single day, Larry Hamm and the POP organization are in front of the Essex County courthouse every day
yeah.
from 4 mm-hmm. o'clock to 6 o'clock. But what
wow.
Larry has lamented is saying that people give me lip service. But when I ask them to come and join us, they don't do that. So I'm encouraging
yeah.
everybody to get mm-hmm. out there and let it be known. We have to have more activism like we had in the 60s. So that people know that we're serious, that the community knows we're serious. And Larry Hamm deserves all the support that he can possibly get with his organization to be out there.
Well,
and
you have to provide us with Larry's number. I don't have his number, but I would certainly like to have it. I know of Larry. When I was
yeah.
on IB, you know, for some reason or not, he was never on. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to make up for that because he's been around a long
oh.
time. I remember when
oh, yes.
he was on the Board of Education as the youngest person,
oh,
right?
Yes. Yes, he was.
So I've been following his career,
yes,
and I definitely want to get in touch with him.
Yeah, they meet every Thursday night.
In Newark, you know, at the college, William Patterson College. I know of the problems. You know,
mm-hmm.
I know of the students and you know, what they're going through. I've taught down there at the NJIT this past summer dealing with some students. So
right.
it's they're so doggone talented, and they're so doggone
oh,
bright.
Yes. Yes.
Want to learn, you know, sure, they'll fool around for a second, but you give them something that they're fascinated with, and these kids run with it.
Mm-hmm.
When some of the people in the state legislature, when they make disparaging remarks about Newark, they don't know what the heck they're talking
That's
about.
That's right. That's right.
You know, we have one of the most extraordinary teachers that I know of, and that's Millie Harris over there at Central High School.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
you know, that's where Ross Baraka, you know, Amiri Baraka's son, is principal over there.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a number of outstanding teachers that just don't get the credit that they deserve.
So many. Wanda Payne, you know. Wanda's teacher over there at Camden. You know, she's fantastic, you know. And I have to say, too, Donald, your son is the president of city council.
Yes, that's true. And very interested and concerned about education. And, has been working hard with the Board of Ed and just with problems in Newark in general. You know, we have a lot of problems. The budget is a big problem. The unemployment, of course, exacerbates the problem. And the frustration of families being unable to cope and their youngsters being so distracted and turned off, many times turned to violence. And we have we really need to figure out a way to try to make jobs available so that we can have young people aspire to a job. But right now, many of them do, but they don't exist. So,
and Donald Payne Jr., I think you're beginning to say, is leading the charge. Now, he's very, very keenly in tune with the youngsters in the city of Newark and is leading the charge on a number of innovative programs that he's leading on.
Well, the family certainly is to be congratulated because of the intense interest in the community and making things happen, because it's not an easy job, for goodness sake. And a lot of times you're doing it with no compensation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when people feel deeply about something that affects them and affects other people, you know, people really have to stop and listen and learn and, you know, get out there and do what they can. Another thing, tell us about the voting rules and regulations. Is there going to be any change when you go to vote in the state of New Jersey? You hear about things all around the country about, you know, they're changing this and changing that. You have to have identification that you haven't had before. What is the situation? Is New Jersey in danger of going through that kind of nonsense also? We need to go out there and vote.
Currently, New Jersey hasn't been caught up in some of the shenanigans that we find in other states.
Yeah.
However, we have to watch. I believe a possibility that a letter will be sent to all registered voters, and if that person does not send this form back, then that name may be challenged or taken out of the books. I have to find out whether that is going to happen in every county or whether it's something that was talked about but will not happen. There are, as you know, around the country, there's all kinds of shenanigans that are going on. For example, in Georgia, a young black kid or any kid who goes to, say, Morehouse College, which is a private school, cannot use his college ID as a valid voter identification. However, if you
Is this law? Has this been legislature? Somebody passed that?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
If a college student is in Georgia State, run by the state, for example, like Georgia Tech, they, because it's a state school, they can use their student ID. Now,
I see.
There's small numbers of African Americans that go to the state schools in Georgia.
Yeah, sure.
There are a larger proportion of black students that go to historically black colleges, and Clark and Morehouse.
Right. Hampton.
Right. And so they will not be able to use that ID. That's just an example. It's complicated state to state. And we have, of course, we've been in touch with the Attorney General. The Attorney General of the United States of America is looking at each of these states where we find that they're really outrageous. The federal government, of course, is going to challenge them. And so, however, they have not all been overturned. For example, even in Florida, they used to have early voting.
Uh-huh.
Churches used to march their congregation down to the voting place, which would be open on Sunday. They cut that out. They made it more difficult.
Wow.
They shortened the period of time that you can have early voting. So there is definitely a move afoot around the country to try to take people who are elderly, minority, and an effort to take them off the voting rolls. And so we really have to fight hard.
You have to be very diligent. And there's devious ways of trying to keep having rights.
Yeah.
The Payne gives the example of the churches. Now, predominantly black churches bring their congregations to vote. And so now you can't do that anymore. So you're obviously getting a disproportionate number of voters who are black.
Wait a minute. Why can't the churches do that anymore?
Well, it's
because they have stopped early voting on Sundays and shortened the period that they can do that.
Okay, then what we have to do is come up with some kind of way, you know, that you get large groups of people, just like during the Civil Rights Movement, when it was at its height. You know,
we definitely have to go back to saying
put
earlier, not
different procedures, you know, and programs to do this. And
we have to become more activists,
not only
on the student level, but
just like we did years ago. It's on.
No question about it. It's not going to be an option for you not to vote. I mean, it's going to be mandatory because if these people take over, we will set the clock back to 1900.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And so this is probably the most important election that we'll see in the next 50 years.
This is crucial.
Absolutely.
This is crucial. This is cause for alarm. So I'm telling everyone who can hear our voices now, this is crucial that you find out the procedures in your particular state and then move. If you have to have new identification, then get it, because certain people have a vested material interest in keeping us from voting.
Absolutely.
They want to turn back the clock. So we don't want that to happen, especially people with money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much of that being used in these elections. They're going after labor unions. They're going after the NLRB.
Mm-hmm.
There are less and less people under organized labor, which means that we're going to see a continued drop in wages. If this group takes over the country, the presidency in the Houses of Congress, you'll see minimum wage laws dissolve. You'll see occupational safety.
Did you have a hearing today over along those lines?
Right. We had a hearing where we had two governors, Governor of Michigan and the Governor of Connecticut, and we had a number of economists to talk about what's going on, and the Republicans just want to do away with all kinds of protections. Forget EPA, forget OSHA.
Let me ask you something. Now, listen, when we talk about this, the people who have all this money are generally white, okay? Now, do you think that this move is a racial thing? And are white people, some white people, especially those with a lot of money, are they interested in turning back the clock so that there is a fear in them about the black and brown people going to outnumber them in a few years? Is that a fear? And they want to keep the black and brown people in their places?
Oh, there's no question about it. They have the wealth now, and they want to keep it.
Yeah.
And therefore, they are really spending tremendous amounts of money in these campaigns, even in the primaries, so that they will be able, they hope, to prevail.
Yeah.
They are concerned that they will lose their wealth. The numbers are just unbelievable. I wish I used them today in a hearing, and I don't want to misquote them, but the small number, I mean, like 0.5% has as much as, you know, 25-30% of all the people in the community. They've got numbers that you would not believe.
Out of town.
And the wealth is just really in the hands of so few people.
Yeah, yeah.
The interesting thing is that you have this fellow Buffett who doesn't seem to be intoxicated by his enormous wealth. He says, let's pay our share. And then you have people like Romney, who doesn't want to give up a penny. And as a matter of fact, does not have any real touch with people, human beings at all. And then you have one or two other wealthy people like the Gates People Foundation, et cetera, who do use their money to try to improve education, things of that nature. But the vast majority of those who are the uber rich, we call them, the Romneys, et cetera, they, my God, it's amazing that they resist paying their fair share of taxes. What could they do with that money? You can never, never in 10 lifetimes, 100 lifetimes, spend that money. It just seems the greed, the worship of money is just the downfall of those people.
We are losing you again. And right now, listen, I'm going to let the two of you go. Congressman Donald Payne, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
We need to talk to you again in a couple of weeks, okay? We want to keep up to date with what's going on with our Congress, with the state legislature of the state of New Jersey, with that governor, you know, in the state of New Jersey. We want to find out what's going on so we can all be involved. And right here on the Kay and Gus Show, we fully intend to put these things out there so people can listen to it. We're going to be having an ad in one of the magazines which is coming out, and Adrian Council and Gene Nash, thank you very much for that. We're looking forward to that. Thanks to Carol and George Moore, because we're going to be having a banner in on their Brownstone digital, you know, site. So we're moving up, you know, and Gus is listening in. And so we hope that his recuperation is going to be absolutely fantastic. And it is. I will be seeing him tomorrow. And thanks for coming on, both of you. We will be doing this again and again and again to keep people updated on current information.
Amistad Commission meets February 29th of this year. February 29th in a couple of weeks.
All that for the Amistad Commission meeting. Where is it again, real fast, Bill?
In the Leroy Smith Building in Newark, New Jersey.
Smith Building in Newark, New Jersey. At
right.
What time?
It's at 4:30 at the Leroy Smith Building. Amistad Commission, open to the public. Please attend.
Okay. And that is in Newark on what street?
In Newark on Market Street.
Market Street. Okay. And the name of the building, once again, is?
The Leroy Smith Public Safety Building.
Public Safety Building on in Newark on Market Street.
That's correct.
Do you have an address?
Yes. It's the 90 Nelson Place, which is across the street.
Nelson Place. Okay.
Across the street from Essex County College.
Oh, okay. Keep us posted. Thank
Will
you
do.
Very much. Okay.
Thank you. Great being on your show.
Listen, good to have you, and, you know, come back again and again, because you always bring so much information. We haven't even had a chance to talk to Africa with all the African countries, but we'll get to that in a couple of weeks, I hope.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Thank you, Congressman. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And I'm Kay Thompson here on the Kay and Gus Show, and we're closing out the show for tonight, and we'll be back next Wednesday with a lot more information that you can use. Please check your voting procedure. It is so important. We have the ability to be a powerful force in this state. So don't not be involved. This is almost like the civil rights movement all over again. Let me tell you something. It is just that serious. Thanks to Ty Washington, Shauna Glover, and Nayana Jones here at BW Moving Images. We're located in Jersey City. And, you know, look at their site, the BW Moving website. YouTube, and you will see BW stands for Black Wax, WAXX, Moving Images, with on our ad in the magazine that's coming up, Positive Community. You're going to be seeing our wonderful ad that was done by Shauna Glover, and it's absolutely fantastic. So we're going to have that so get the magazine, everyone, and support Gene and Adrian. And Gus is listening in, so Gus, I will talk to you later on. And I'm Kay Thompson. Thanks to Lisa Payne also. You know, Gina Payne and Eric Payne. All the Paynes, because they help in putting the show together. Ty Washington, thank you so much. If you want to do a radio show, you need to call BW Music Moving Images. I'm telling you, you can't beat them. And the number for you to call here at the studio every day, everybody, once again, is 201-963-6751, 201-963-6751. So call them and say, I'd like to do a radio show like Kay Thompson's doing. It's possible. And then guess what? You're not only heard here in Jersey City or in New Jersey, you're heard not locally, not only that locally, not only nationally, but global. Okay? So we're going to be going now. Thank you very much. Thanks, Ayana, Shauna. Hi, teams, and everybody. I'm Kay Thompson. Join us again, please, next week. Oh.